LifeCare provides valuable whole life insurance to cover final expenses such as medical bills, burial costs, and unpaid debt. A final expense insurance policy is fast, easy, affordable life insurance that's available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exams, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. The application process is quick and easy. You can even apply without having to undergo a medical examination. Just answer a few questions and we'll do the rest. With the average funeral cost skyrocketing to $11,000 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple, affordable peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses, expenses that, if left unattended, will burden your family tremendously. Benefits include a guaranteed premium that will never increase, a guaranteed cash value, and a guaranteed death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense insurance with a guaranteed lifetime rate lock, call LifeCare at 800-956-0683. 800-956-0683. 800-956-0683.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Into Tomorrow continues for the weekend of Friday, February 11th, 2022, Valentine's weekend. Don't forget your Valentine, or as many of us like to call it, Singles Awareness Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, in the real holiday is February 15th when all the chocolate is 50% off.
Oh, man, you shouldn't be saying that. It's not good for you. You need to lose weight, not gain anymore.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, be sure and get me some too. When it's 50% off. Milk chocolate, sometimes with caramel, my favorites.
Yeah.
Ooh, stuff with toffee. I like toffee, milk chocolate covered. Okay, now I want chocolate started. Did I mention that it's the weekend of Friday, February 11th? I think I did.
That's how we got on this conversation about the real holiday.
Did I mention it's our 27th year on the air?
It is.
And they haven't caught up with us, so I guess we'll keep doing it. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
But thank you for tuning in. We've got some tech news and commentary, then David in Georgia standing by with a call, and a bunch of others, and lots of cool things to share with you. Make sure we tell everyone what our prizes are this week when you call in to participate.
Yeah, we need to, because there's some cool stuff you're going to want to participate and win.
We brought back some neat things from the Consumer Electronics Show to share with our audience, so we're doing just that. Meantime, I mentioned some tech news and commentary.
Yeah, another couple of quick announcements from Samsung. They, at their event this past Wednesday, they announced the brand new Galaxy Tab S8 Ultra tablet.
Mm. Terribly exciting.
Yeah, it's very whelming, as you say. You like to say, it's not overwhelming. It's not, maybe a little underwhelming, but it's just whelming.
Yeah, exactly. People ask how I am, and I say, I'm whelmed. And they, huh? I'm not overwhelmed or underwhelmed. I'm just whelmed.
Yeah.
Okay, they expect that from me. But this is a thing with a 14.6-inch OLED screen, which is pretty huge for a little tab, and starts at over $1,000.
Yeah,
$1,100. Yeah, starts at that.
For that, you get a laptop.
Exactly. Why waste your time with a tablet? Get one of those convertible laptops that you can pull off the keyboard, and it's a tablet anyway. But it's so much easier to deal with. They also have the 11-inch Galaxy Tab S8 and the 12.4-inch Tab S8 Plus. Those models have 120Hz refresh rate displays, but the bigger one now also has an OLED screen.
And of course, the Tab, the S8, starts at the budget price of $700, and you can have the Plus model for a cool $900.
Wonderful.
And all three of those are running the Android 12 operating system.
Well, at least they're smart about that.
Yeah.
Samsung promised that Google Assistant support would be coming to the Galaxy Watch 4, but only specified that it would be soon. So what does that mean? Who knows when soon is?
Well, you'd have to ask the Google Assistant, but it won't be. But it's not here yet, so you can't.
Right. Well, you can ask it, but you can't ask it on the watch.
Right.
Because it won't tell you.
Yeah.
Rumble, a YouTube-like video sharing site with looser moderation rules that has become a very popular site with conservatives, wants podcaster Joe Rogan to leave Spotify. If you've been following any of that in any of the news, fake news or otherwise, you know that he's had issues because that old fart Neil Young is he still alive? Pulled his music because he didn't like what Joe Rogan was doing. And, you know, what a clown. I mean, you know, fine. Pull your music so nobody can hear it. Who cares if nobody wanted to hear it?
But, and that's funny because I think I told you that reminds me of a funny meme that I saw. It's, you know, people under 30, or who's Neil Young? People 30 to 60, Neil Young's still alive? And people over 60, what the heck is Spotify?
Yeah, very true. Well, anyway, Rumble, this conservative platform, wants Joe Rogan to leave Spotify for a cool $100 million. I don't know where they're getting that kind of money, but the offer made public in a letter from Rumble chief executive Chris Pavlovsky posted to Twitter. Follows Spotify CEO Daniel Ek's letter to employees this past Sunday apologizing for Rogan's use of a racial slur in previous podcast episodes and saying he doesn't believe in silencing him. Good for Spotify CEO. It's about time that somebody for a change just didn't go woke and said, you know what, let's all play nice together. You know, he did that many years ago. He apologized for it. Let's move on, huh?
And if you don't like what somebody says on a podcast, don't listen to it.
Thank you. So not only is it Neil Young and these other has-been musicians that want to pull their music, fine, bye.
Well, the biggest one is Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, which I have Amazon Music, and I've seen an unusual amount of ads or promos on Amazon Music promoting rediscover Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. You know, it's,
oh, please. Rediscover them, right? Yeah. Same thing, under 30. Who are they? You know, why would I care? Now, mind you, Rumble's offer comes right after Spotify did remove more than 70 episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience, ostensibly because they contained repeated uses of the N-word and other offensive language. If you know Joe Rogan, ever heard of him, ever listened to him, he's a wild and crazy guy. I mean, he says what's on his mind. Mm-hmm. If you don't like him, it's like Howard Stern. I could never stand listening to that clown. And so I don't. Well, I don't say you pull him from, where is he now, Sirius XM, the you know, you have to pay for radio. You know, who cares? If you like him, pay for him, listen to him. If you don't, don't listen.
Well, the funny part is probably half of Howard Stern's listeners hate him, but they listen because they want to see what he's going to say next.
That's true. That's kind of like when Rush Limbaugh was alive. People hated him, but they would listen religiously because they wanted to know what else they could scream about. So it's kind of bizarre how that's happening. But
so I teased this story last hour. Meta suggests that it may have to shut down Facebook and Instagram in the European Union.
They should be so lucky.
Yeah, if it's no longer able to transfer data across the Atlantic between Europe and the U.S. Now, while the suggestion appears to just be posturing, some top politicians in Europe seem almost hilariously unfazed by the proposition.
That's funny.
They're like, okay, so, and?
Yeah. What's the problem?
Yeah. Meta's suggestion was quietly mentioned in the company's annual report to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission last week. The remarks regard new EU legislation currently being drawn up that would require data processing service providers to set up safeguard against illegal data transfers to non-EU governments. The report reads, quote, if a new transatlantic data transfer framework is not adopted and we are unable to continue to rely on SCCs or rely upon other alternative means of data transfers from Europe to the United States, we will likely be unable to offer a number of our most significant products and services, including Facebook and Instagram, in Europe.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're really nervous about that or could care less in the long run. It's like, that's not going to happen.
Probably.
But it is kind of funny that the European politicians are laughing about it. Speaking of streaming, as we also were a little while ago, Pandora, the digital music platform owned by Sirius XM, remember they bought Pandora a while back? They've been ripping off comedians by streaming their recordings without properly licensing the underlying works. And apparently have been doing so for many years. That according to a bunch of new lawsuits. See, that's another reason to not pay for radio, or Pandora, for that matter. And I hate when satellite radio people call us types terrestrial radio. We're radio, free the way it's meant to be.
Because the estates of Robin Williams and George Carlin have filed lawsuits. They're joining complaints from Andrew Dice Clay, Ron White, and Bill Engvall, who allege that they weren't given a fraction of a penny for their work as a result of Pandora's willful wrongdoing. Now, as explained by news site Puck, comedians are fighting for recognition of two copyrights on a comedic work, one for writing a joke and another for recording it.
Interesting.
Companies have traditionally only purchased licenses for the recordings, not the jokes themselves. Puck points out that the argument streamers need both has never really been tested in court. So apparently these lawsuits will decide whether or not a streaming service needs to pay for both copyrights, both the writing of the joke and the airing of it, in order to air it.
That's going to be interesting, because I do find myself listening to some comedy radio periodically, because I enjoy, especially in the car, I want to laugh. You know, you pay more attention with spoken word anything than you do with music in general. At least I do. And it keeps me more alert, even though if I'm at a traffic light and somebody looks over and they see me LOLing, you know, they got to wonder, what the heck is he listening to? Well, it's usually some comedy radio stuff. But they've got to pay for this. You can't just do it. And, of course, it doesn't surprise me that SiriusXM owns Pandora, and they're the ones ripping off comedians. Uh-huh. It's like, well, come on, play fair here.
Yeah,
you're charging for your service and for people to hear these folks. So be fair to those folks.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people say, well, they've got, these performers have tons of money, they can afford it, but they're not. It's more about the principle of the thing, because they only get, like, these songs that you listen to on these streaming services, an artist may only get like a quarter of a penny for each time that song is listened to. So it's not like, you know, they're paying a lot of money. A lot of it is the principle of the thing, you know.
True. You know. Well, we've said long ago, many years ago in our 27 years on the air, that when you can pirate music, why would you do that if you have a favorite group or singer? Why would you want to steal from them? If you like what they do, don't you want them to afford to keep doing it?
Uh-huh.
So pay for it. And let's be reasonable. Don't pay ungodly amounts. And the same thing here. I mean, these comics want to be heard. So they have to reach a happy medium here and say, all right, we're not going to be unrealistic, but we want more than nothing. Give us a little something, because we wrote these jokes and we're delivering them, and that's wonderful. But, you know, come on.
Yeah, it's definitely not fair for these services that are paying, charging their customers, you know, up to, you know, $14, $15 a month for the service, and they're not paying for the content they're airing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if we were in that kind of business, we'd be millionaires.
Well, that would be nice. Well, let's get into that kind of business then.
Okay.
And see what happens. In an SEC filing, Amazon said it spent $13 billion on music, movies, and series last year. That was an 18% uptick from 2020. Even when music and live sports are in the mix, Amazon's overall total was significantly lower than Netflix's $17 billion in 2021. So Amazon, even with their originals and music and movies, whatnot, series, only $13 billion. Netflix spent $17 billion last year on creating content.
And Netflix doesn't have music, so that tells you how little they're paying for the music.
Yeah, there you go. Back to our previous story. Yeah. Kind of works out.
And speaking of Amazon, they're, of course, raising the price of Prime in the U.S. from $119 to $139.
But, wait, you found a way around it.
You don't have to pay the higher charges. Now, there's a hack available to American Prime subscribers that helps them avoid the price increase, but you've got to move fast to take advantage of it.
And, of course, we here at Into Tomorrow are always about helping our audience save money.
Yes.
So you're going to tell them exactly how to do it.
Yeah. The price changes on February 18th, so you need to do this before then.
Whoa.
Now, Amazon sells gift memberships that you can use to give the membership to someone else. But there's no rule that says it has to be used by someone else.
So it's not a dollar amount. It's just a gift membership.
Right.
So whatever the membership happens to be at that time.
Right. So what you need to do is purchase a gift membership now at the current rate of $119. Then you want to turn off the automatic renewal on your current Prime membership so that it won't renew at the new higher price.
But mark a calendar.
Right. So when the time comes to renew your membership, use the code that you got when you purchased the gift membership. Now, using the hack may seem a little crafty, but it's not illegal, so don't feel guilty. Amazon also probably knows about it, but they won't mind people rushing to exploit it, since it'll lock in more subscriptions for them, and that's good for business.
Well, first of all, don't feel guilty about doing anything to save money with Amazon anyway.
Exactly. Now, you could, in theory, purchase several gift memberships to lock in the rate for several years, but the upfront cost of that would get pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to shell out a grand to cover your next several years.
Yeah.
You may by that time say, screw it, I'm not going to use them anymore.
Right. But at least it'll save you $20 on your next renewal.
That's true. And that's a good hack, a good way around it. And if you missed any of that, then come by and listen to Hour 2 during Tech News at intotomorrow.com. David in Atlanta, Georgia, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast. Hey, Dave.
I'm looking for a solution to log into my dad's iPad remotely, so I could help him kind of like I do with TeamViewer on my PC. Is there such a thing for the iPad?
Unfortunately, David, there is no such thing for an iPad. Tablets and phones sandbox apps and don't allow them to have root access. So there's no way for an app to give you remote access that would allow you to change settings or even just poke around the way you can do on a PC, again, without rooting or jailbreaking, if you will, the tablet, which can open you up to a whole host of other problems.
Not to mention voiding any warranties that might be on the device.
Well, exactly.
Now, your best bet here might be to start a FaceTime call and do a screen share. You'll need your dad to tap on things, but at least you'll be able to guide him and hopefully help him resolve the issues. Now, as a side effect, having to participate at least in the form of tapping things may educate him on how to troubleshoot these issues and eventually require less involvement from you. So that might be an upside of this limitation.
That's true. An upside to you and your dad. Because he's going to pick up on some of the things, hopefully, and remember some of the tips that you give him. But that does kind of make the most sense. And you can do FaceTime, and you can share your screen on FaceTime. So that's, I think, the closest thing to what David's trying to accomplish, like using TeamViewer or GoToMyPC or something of that nature, where you can't take over his machine.
Right.
Let me know, David, if that works out for you. We'll do some more digging if it doesn't and see if we can't come up with some other solutions. Or our listeners are the best in the world. Stay tuned, because if somebody knows another way around what you're trying to accomplish, do call in and let us know, and we'll share it with everybody, including David. 800-899-INTO, or use the free Into Tomorrow app.